Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Time hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Adam Jones in for Zoe. Dan Shaughnessy with us. Yesterday it was reported by the Boston Globe that Greg Schiano will be named the new defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. That was met with a response from Dan Shaughnessy on Twitter in which you called him a Patriots operative, correct?
Yes.
He said, embedded Pats operative Greg Schiano finally officially hired by New England as D coordinator. At Rutgers, Schiano made Steve Belichick long snapper. In Tampa, did joint practices with the Pats and then got beat by New England 23-3 in week three. Traded LeGarrette Blount to New England and then ran off Darrell Revis, who wound up in New England.
Also traded Aqib Talib to New England.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, he's been working for the Patriots for like 15 years. Only now are they making it official. And again, this is great for the Patriots. It's great for their fans. It's been great to have an embedded guy with another organization all that time. But if I were, not that there are any fans of the Tampa Bay Bucks, but I'd be a little wondering about what was going on during that time. He's funneling all these players to Bill. He's having joint practices with Bill. Bill's spanking him through 2 weeks later. Did you ever notice that the team that has joint practices with Bill, like, they get nothing out of it, and Bill knows all about them when it's over?
Not totally true.
It's masterful.
The Eagles won the Super Bowl last year.
All right. Well, it worked with Tampa. Let's put it that way. And it worked with his Bobo, Greg Schiano, who I'm sure, again, very fine man, very fine football coach. This is all in favor of the Patriots, so that's good. Our audience loves this. But if the commission is going to look into deflation of footballs, I would have suggested looking into the competitive balance of what was going on in Tampa during 2012 and 13.
Now, you say he's a fine football coach. I have my doubts.
Well, I mean, he was kind of a hard ass who was not particularly liked by veteran players.
He's been a train wreck at the NFL level. His players hated him.
Yeah.
He wasn't good in college.
He was okay.
Well, I would say that. He was okay.
They're like one game over 500.
Total record, I don't think, tells that story.
Why don't they win the national championship every year with all those great players?
Well, his defense stunk at Ohio State last year.
Awful.
Number one supplier of players.
We had Bert Breer in here yesterday, and he said last year he believes was the worst defensive year in the history of the Ohio State program. Huge Ohio State guy described it. He said it is likely the worst year of defense in the history of the Ohio State football program under the direction of Greg Schiano, who had all the control over the defense. He had full say over everything that happened with the defense, and he said they were downright terrible.
Woody Hayes rolling over in his grave with Bert Breer.
I would say this, Jones. There are some challenges at Rutgers that don't exist at other schools.
That's true.
And in 2006, he got that program to a place that I don't think it was going otherwise.
Okay.
So he was good.
Good
year. He wasn't some sort of great college coach.
Right.
He was good. He did the job well.
Good year.
And I think that style plays at that level. Being a complete hard ass doesn't play at this level. It just doesn't. And Ted Johnson spoke about this yesterday and said, these guys who make that jump from college to the pros, they just don't get it. Number one, we get paid now. Okay, we're professionals. This is our job. And by the way, we play 16 games plus playoffs. It's a little different here. You got to pace yourself. You got to know what you're doing. And the rah-rah stuff doesn't work anymore. You've got to really get in there and coach and connect with players in a way that you didn't have to do in college. And he said, some guys just can't do it. Just can't make that change. Greg Schiano has not done it yet. He didn't do it in Tampa Bay. As Dan has mentioned, they had a team meeting down there. You know, he was challenged by the players on that roster, including Darrell Revis when he was in Tampa.
If you don't like it, just go to the Patriots. You're out here.
If you don't like it, I'll trade you there. We'll get you in a nice situation.
I got
if you don't like
up
it,
there. He'd love to have your services.
We played this on yesterday. Devin McCourty saying that in terms of who's a harder coach to play for, he was asked in 2014, who's harder, Schiano or Belichick? And he said, oh, Schiano.
Yeah.
It's Schiano. He's a harder guy to play for.
Great.
So that's what they're getting.
So, I mean, I have two big takeaways on this. Number one, I don't really think the coordinators do much here. Like, I really don't compared to other organizations. I think Bill has his hand on everything. It's not to say that, you know, Brian Flores doesn't make calls or anything like that, but I think Bill can overrule him. Bill's got a big hand, a strong hand in the game planning. He picks the personnel. Like, I don't think these coordinators do much, which is why they all go out and fall flat on their face. So this is just more proof. Like, the coordinator really doesn't matter. You can hire this bozo, plug him in on defense, and it doesn't matter, right? So that'd be my number one takeaway. Number two, I hope they did all their research on what happened with him at Penn State. You know,
it's another thing I said yesterday, how are they going to address this?
I hope they did all their research, because Bill will vouch for his buddy, right? Bill doesn't dig in on this stuff. Look at all the guys that Bill just took Urban Meyer's word for from Florida. Not just Aaron Hernandez, the obvious one. Jermaine Cunningham, Brandon Spikes. And I don't know, and I think the Schiano stuff has been overplayed to a degree. I don't know what Schiano saw or didn't see when he was there. But to be there and to pretend like you didn't know anything was up, I find that a little hard to believe. So I would just make sure that the organization dug in on Schiano and not just Bill Belichick. I wouldn't just take Bill's word and say, hey, he's a good guy, he's here. I hope the organization dug in.
After hearing everything you two have said, I'm wondering if they might be better served to have him, you know, working for another organization where he can do his work for the Patriots.
Or he can help them and continue to do things he's done.
That's a good point.
Right.
You gotta pump him back up.
Yeah, like
get him as a coordinator, get him a job again.
He became like head coach of the Browns or something. That could have been really useful. You know, could have used him there, you know.
No, I'm saying that's 2 years away. You got to pump him back up. You got to get him as a coordinator.
You got to boost his stock.
You got to boost the stock
and then
get him back out there.
Send him off to be a head coach in another team.
I got a quarterback for you.
Yeah.
You
know, like who? Yeah. Exactly. Who do you want? Yeah, what young quarterback do you like around the league? Get Schiano.
This formalization of the relationship kind of is a little troubling because it's been there the whole time. The whole time. Working with the Patriots.
Even the last 2 years.
Yeah. Patriot operative embedded.
You're convinced.
Yes.
You're convinced of it.
No,
I don't know that they're getting a good coach. At least not a good NFL coach. He's not done a good job.
How could
not
I
even
mean,
close to doing a good job at this level?
He'll probably come here and the defense will be good. But again, the defense is normally pretty good no matter who the coordinator is. So is the offense.
So the question about being aggressive, I think they will continue to be aggressive. That I think they will be. I think Schiano has that in him, and sometimes it's burned him. It's burned him badly in being too aggressive, being overly aggressive, not knowing where to pick the spots. I think the thing we've seen this year was Brian Flores knew how to pick the spots, right? So, he's not – I don't know if Brian Flores was completely drawing up the defense. He certainly wasn't picking the personnel. But we saw just in the last two nights inside the NFL mic'd up where Belichick goes to him and says, we got 15 more calls here. All right, let's settle down and make these calls. And that's Brian Flores.
And he went right to Flores after the pick and said, good call.
Right. That's where he knew how to pick the spots. Does Schiano know how to pick the spots? I have no idea.
I don't know.
But his track record...
It seemed like Bill was holding his hand a little bit on what to call with 15 calls left, you know?
His track record in the NFL is putrid.
Well,
let's just call that for what it is.
And Bill traditionally has not had guys to push back from within. I mean, in my view, it's been young guys he's cultivated, and they kind of are with the program until they go somewhere else. He doesn't like Pease didn't work out when he had him here, that sort of thing. So this guy is so loyal, he's not pushing back.
Oh, he won't push back at all.
He's not pushing back. No. Whatever you say, Bill. Yes, Bill. Yes.
Here's a question I have, Jones.
Pease the D coordinator the year they were undefeated?
He was his tenure was brief, as I recall.
I think he made it. Maybe that was the beginning of Patricia Collin plays.
What Bill does is have a veteran guy come.
No, that was Pease, I think.
I don't think he was officially the defensive coordinator.
I think he was, because Capers came in the next year, right?
2006 was the first year he was D coordinator.
How long was he here?
Like 2 years.
2009.
Capers was, maybe
six,
longer.
7, 8, 9, 4 years.
What year was Capers? I thought Capers was 08. Never mind. I don't mean to send you down that rabbit hole. Sorry. Yeah, but Pease, I mean, it doesn't really matter who the D coordinator Capers, is because Bill has his hand in everything.
Capers was brought in for the possibility of a suspension.
Right, but I thought he got the D coordinator title. Did he not?
That was the brief one, right?
Yeah, Capers is here for like a year.
2008, he was on the. He was here as special assistant and secondary coach.
Got it. I thought he was D coordinator.
1 year he was here.
That's what I'm thinking of.
And he was rumored to have been brought onto the staff in the event that Bill Belichick was going to face suspension by the NFL for Spygate. Okay. That's why Capers was brought in for that possibility.
I mean, Shiano will be the ultimate test case that the coordinators don't matter. If he comes in and the defense still looks good, it's like, okay, they really don't
doesn't
do anything.
Matter.
They really don't do it. Bill does it all. Bill's got his hand in everything. I guess they make a call here and there, but Bill seems to hold their hand and walk them through that too. This will be the ultimate test case, what they do.
Yeah, one of the things, though, that he may have pushed back on, he may have wanted the title, because for them to hand out the title, they wouldn't even give that title to Brian Flores.
Should they give it to this guy?
No.
Definitely not.
No, he's not deserving of it. If Brian Flores is,
the rules do not apply to this guy.
I mean, I would say Brian Flores was deserving of it, and if he wasn't, then this guy certainly is.
Oh, Flores was deserving of it. Sure.
Yes. Paid the dues.
This guy, no.
Put in the time.
This guy has paid the dues. He's been sending you players for like a long time.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
I want to show a clip real quick because you probably don't even remember this. Here's Gronk at the parade. There. Look at you right there. Just people are, oh, somebody's hitting you in the head with a football.
Hold on. I got a story.
You do? I mean, come on. That's how fun.
All right. Was that a football?
I think it was something.
We had literally, there was like five, you know, those nipple shots. There were like five of them were thrown at one time, and then there was like five beers coming at one time, and everyone on the duck boat juking home. We're getting good practicing for next season, like, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then next thing you know, I move back a little. I'm just chilling, looking, and poof, pop. You see that?
Yeah, you got cut?
Full beer can right to the face.
Look at this.
Rob Gronkowski last night on with Jimmy Fallon.
Nipple shops. Does he mean nips? I think he means nips.
Is that what he means?
What?
Not like shots of his nipples?
Yeah, well, see, that's what I was thinking. Like still shots
like,
of him partying with his shirt
off. Look at those
pictures
of me with that vest on. Get a few nip slips there. A couple nip shots.
Can we hear just the nipple portion of that clip again, please, Jim? Because there was a shot that I used to mix up when I was a bartender called the Buttery Nipple.
Oh.
Which I believe was... butterscotch schnapps and maybe
nipples.
A little vodka thrown in there too.
Something at one time we had literally there was like five, you know, those nipple shots. There were like five of them were thrown at one time.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, nips.
He just means nips.
Yep.
Right.
Right. Bingo.
Yeah.
You know what? I walked through in front of City Hall right after it was all winding down. It was like 2 o'clock or something. There were a million those little fireballs.
Yeah.
That must be really popular with the young folks.
Yeah, I don't get why.
Yeah. There was a million of them. A
lot of them?
And I'm like, yes. It was a.
You were you at the parade? Did you make a sign?
No, I was at Channel 7, the studio, watching it, talking with Joe Ammo. But, you know, when you walk out, that's where the studios are, right there in Government Center. So you could see this was a popular selection of the
fireball.
Day.
Kids like the fireball.
Well, they taste like those cinnamon, jawbreakers,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, right.
Sure.
They smell like them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's got a nice little kick.
So
yeah.
Did you catch the little something in there about the clue for next year?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. Getting ready for next year. They're practicing for next year by dodging the stuff. You know, it's like practice for next year.
Mm. Do you think that actually means anything?
I was thinking about next year.
Did you think the Brady Instagram from the other day meant anything? Because I'll choose to read into all of it.
I think the TB Times meant a lot for next year because the Gator.
That's true.
If I had to pick between the two, the Brady thing means more.
Yeah. I mean, forgive me that maybe you guys have been talking about this and I missed it. Do you think he's back?
I have not thought he's back, and I still don't. I'm still not convinced he's coming back.
Okay, but like
I thought the whole time that was his last game and he's going to be done.
Okay, so me too. Until he played great in the Kansas City game, he played great in that game. Brady's putting out Instagram videos where they're like weighing his future. I'm not saying it's a slam dunk that he's back or anything like that, but I'm leaning more he's back than not now. And I wouldn't have said that 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago.
So, you know, there's a pay cut coming if he is going to come back. He's not going to make the same money.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how soon that discussion begins. Has that already started? You know, does it happen this week? Does Drew Rosenhaus call Bill this week? And when do they start to figure that part of it out? And does it factor into the decision?
Oh, I think it definitely factors into the decision.
Because he said, give me a week. That's what Gronk said after the game. Like, he indicated 1 week's time was what he needed.
You see Reese tweet that the reason he was on Fallon last night and not earlier in the week was that quad issue? They bumped it back because of that. So I think it was Mike Reese. Let me double check that. But I thought
he took a helmet to the leg.
That was hard. Yeah.
I'm not talking about the random beers. I'm talking about.
No, he got hit from both sides.
Did you see that? Play.
Yeah.
He got hit hard.
He was supposed to be a guest on Monday. Reese tweeted out, but he had to delay it because of a quad boost.
He's probably sore.
Yeah.
Pretty sore after that.
But there's a lot more going on than just hey, I need a week to look at my like. There's you know, I mean, he was pretty beat up. After
he waved
the game,
off the trainers when he came off on that because we were watching him thinking. That might not be good for later in the game, but he waved him off when he came off. That was a hard hit.
I'm with you, man. Yes. I'm even going to step out.
Oh, I like it.
I, too, will step out.
I will also.
I'll try one of these fireball of which you speak.
Step out. Yeah, I think there's a chance he's back now, but I'm still not convinced that's the case.
Okay, I didn't say convinced, but which way are you leaning?
I'm still leaning on he's not coming back.
Okay.
Right now I'm leaning on he's not coming back. There's nothing, I mean... I do want to read into that Brady thing with the to be continued.
Well, just he showed.
I desperately want to read into that, but I know that Gronk's not.
But he also showed that he can still be. I mean, maybe not vintage Gronk, but he can still play well. Like he proved that. Like I kind of feel like Gronk needed to do that.
Right, he's not still Gronk, but he's still a valuable tight end.
Yeah,
to have on your roster.
It took a while to prove it, but he finally proved it. He proved it in a big spot. So to me, I don't know if he needed to prove it to himself or. You know, if there's the pull of Brady wanting him back again, but I I'm not convinced by any means, but I would lean that he's back.
617-779-0985. Mike's in the car. What's up, Mike?
Who's that guy speaking positively with Adam Jones's voice? I don't understand.
That's a good question.
Hey, so play the back in time harp music. I was watching the first Brady Super Bowl, and... there was a moment in the third quarter, Patriots were up by 7, Rams were driving, they eventually went on to score, and Bledsoe was warming up on the sideline. And I didn't recall that, and I don't recall from back in the day that there was a quarterback controversy. I mean, I know Bledsoe came in the AFC Championship game, he had that nice drive, I had a Bledsoe jersey, I was a Bledsoe guy, but I don't recall there being a quarterback controversy. And I guess, Dan, that's a question for you. Is there any chance that Bledsoe might have come in that drive and won the game, and then this whole Brady thing never would have happened?
No. I mean, again, Bill tried to bleed that out all week. So you had the AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh when Drew came in. I think it was not a high ankle sprain, but it was an ankle with Brady. And, you know, Bledsoe led touchdown drive and then managed the game the rest of the way. They win the game. There was no week off that year. The team came home on Sunday and went to New Orleans on Monday. And Bill, he milked it all week. He did not announce until Friday who his starting quarterback would be. And nationally, there was some debate. And, you know, we in Boston, we kind of knew it was going to be Brady. And I talked to Bill one-on-one, I think, Wednesday or Thursday. And I could tell. He still wouldn't give it up. But it was obvious. And then Friday, he made the announcement. And again, he's trying to keep the Rams off guard, whatever. He's just doing his thing. Why do it when you don't have to? He had a natural-born controversy there. But on game day, there was no inference that there was going to be a switch there. Oh, during the game, no. It was, you know, Brady was doing fine, and they were ahead. They were ahead 14-3.
All right, Mike.
There, it's 17-3, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Maybe there being, you know, the like you said, the national commentary. I guess I don't remember national versus local, but leading up to the game till Bill settled it, there was some. But yeah, I don't think there was any in-game.
I had a little game for Bill that week because I was doing a stupid column on, you know, the Ginger versus Marianne and Coke versus Pepsi, just all that thing. So it was leading into Bledsoe versus Brady. Which one do you like? So I had him one-on-one, and he was great. I went through this whole thing. You know, there's two golf courses in Nantucket, Sankaty Head or whatever the other one is. And I made him choose on Army or Navy, you know, the whole thing, Harvard or Yale. So we got to the bottom, and I was done, and he had answered all of them. And I said, Brady or Belichick? Bledsoe. Yeah. And he wouldn't do it. And then he looked at me, and he goes, cats or dogs? I'm like, ooh, I didn't think of that one, cats or dogs. He said, yeah, we have a test like that, and we ask guys those questions. It just helps identify certain personality traits.
Huh.
So I thought, yeah, that's
like,
kind of cool.
Like, uh-oh, cat guy.
Yeah, no. But he was into it.
Don't be like that cat. Yeah. Be a dog.
Ginger and Marianne.
As a child, I didn't know any better.
Be careful here.
No, it was a ginger.
Okay.
Now I understand it's Marianne.
Okay. That's good.
A little high maintenance, that ginger.
Oh, come on.
A little high maintenance. Sweaty feet. Is that what it is?
No.
I never had to go that far because I just think given the choice between the two, I think I just think Marianne has more to offer. That's all.
That's good. That's well put.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cats.
What about you, Dan?
Cats or dogs?
Marianne.
Yeah.
Oh, dogs.
Dogs.
All right. Dan's dates are coming up at 12:50. Rob is in Massachusetts. It says here that's pretty general. Rob, where are you?
I'm in Cambridge right now.
There you go.
Yeah, is that your real name?
did anybody catch on hearing Gronk saying that he was dodging the shots, dodging the beards, just getting ready for next year's practice? Did anyone catch on to that?
Yeah. Did you catch on? We were just talking about
it.
I must have heard it then.
Yeah, that's not necessary, Adam.
Yeah, that was kind
of. So you get on Jones's show and you're called.
Right.
You just talked about it.
Well, he missed that part.
He's shaming the caller.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? He sort of deserved it with that Massachusetts. Where are you calling from?
Seriously.
Massachusetts? What?
Does our kid hate you?
I mean, probably. I don't know.
Doesn't seem like he does.
Who doesn't?
No, I mean, you two seem to get along okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, have I ever not gotten along with anybody?
You tell me.
I don't know.
Ginger Marianne.
Marianne.
Okay.
Ginger. I met sweaty feet. Everybody knows about that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now that you bring it up,
mm-hmm.
That's not the reason. Beetle?
I would lean more ginger than Marianne.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah. Totally would.
A little on the trashy side.
Superficial.
Saw that coming.
You would, says Artie. Yeah. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dan's Dates coming up at 12:50 with Dan Shaughnessy. Ready, Dan?
I am.
Baseball rule changes?
Yes.
Ooh.
And you give us the thumbs up or thumbs down, as Nick Cafardo did in his story in the Globe. Universal DH in baseball.
Thumbs down.
Blah!
Don't need it.
You bum.
No, the argument's okay. You know, National League one way. I mean, it's stupid, I understand, but to have it uniform, no. I don't have a need for that.
Why?
Well, the National League is kind of fun. It's just a different game, obviously. They play faster, more strategy, all that stuff. It's a little goofy in the World Series.
They play faster. They play faster because they have a pitcher hit, and it's a waste of time for everybody.
Okay.
It's a waste of time. Who wants to watch a pitcher hit?
Is there really that much more strategy?
No, there's not.
No, there is more.
Just hit.
You got to play around that.
Yeah, as in you have to know the rules, unlike John Farrell.
Double switch, pitch hitting, all that stuff.
Not that hard.
So you just want to
eliminate. It's not that hard. Yeah. For him, it was very hard.
It's really... No, right. Yeah, for John Farrell.
I mean, is there more? Yeah, but not much. Like, it's not like it takes a brain surgeon to figure that out.
You'd miss the argument, Beetle, if they eliminated it. You'd miss the argument.
I wouldn't miss it at all. Yeah, in fact, I'd love it. But you know what? It's fine, because right now, the American League has the market on DHs cornered.
Yes.
So, you know what? I want the AFC to take away the kicker. Take away the kicker in the AFC.
It's the only sport with this stupidity.
Yes.
And they need to do away with it.
Yep.
Universal DH needs to be a thing.
For Farrell, it was the Da Vinci Code. He just could not crack that thing.
See all these numbers.
Whipping around.
His brain. Yeah.
Do I hit for the pitcher? I don't know.
Increased roster size in baseball. Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I don't need that. No, and again, they should take away expanding the rosters in September.
I'm with you on that, but why not increase the roster for the season? And I'm not saying go to, 10 more guys, but why not add two or three more players and then...
It's making the game longer. Every time you increase the roster, you're making the game longer.
I'm not necessarily.
Yeah, you are.
No. Bullpens are making the game longer.
But what do you need?
But what do you think those extra guys are going to be?
What's the extra guy? What's the point of the extra guy?
Pitching changes, Beetle. You don't want that.
Yeah, I don't want bigger rosters either. Yeah. I'm out on that.
Smaller rosters. Okay. Make them be selective.
A change to the trade deadline and free agent signings, as Nick wrote in the Globe, making the winter meetings great again should be an emphasis in these talks.
Yes.
Give teams a deadline for making deals
and
signing free agents
this is
on the last day of winter meetings, which means you've got a deadline. But here would be my question. How does this change anything? Because it says you can't, if you don't make it by the end of winter meetings. You then have to wait until mid-March. Well, then they're just going to wait until mid-March.
Well, make it a real deadline. Yeah,
make it a hard deadline. A real firm deadline.
But how do you make a real deadline? Because then if you have unsigned players, what happens to them?
They tell your agents to make sure they sign by the end of it.
Too bad.
Or else you're out.
Yeah. Or they go into some sort of dispersal thing. I don't know. But again, baseball is hurting because they don't have any news. No one's talking about it.
Well, and then,
if you had that deadline, you'd have that.
Okay, here's the other part of the deadline changes.
People buying tickets would know who they're going to see next year.
The other part of the trade deadline is having one unified trade deadline and not having the waiver trade deadline, non-waiver trade deadline.
Isn't that a no-brainer?
That to me seems like an easy one.
Yeah. Who would be against that?
Should it still be July 31st if you change it?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that point. Give you 2 months to figure it out. Yeah.
Yes.
I like that.
September 1st?
The date's okay. It's just that all this looseness with it.
September 1st? I mean, that totally changed the Astros winning 2 years ago. And that's late in the year to diagnose stuff,
I just go back to the deal that saved the Red Sox, being the deal they made with the Dodgers being after that July 31 deadline. They did it in the month of August.
Just going to make it earlier.
Which is there one about the no tanking?
I don't know that it would happen earlier.
Where's the one about punishing tanking? You know. Because we're all in favor of that.
Okay, I'm going to get to some of the other in-game rules.
Teams that are trying to win.
So
instead of rewarding teams.
Universal DH you're down on.
Yep.
Single trade deadline and deadline in the offseason you are thumbs up
That's a thumbs up, yeah.
Expansion of the rosters to 26 you're down on. And that includes a 12-pitcher maximum that they're proposing. Mm-hmm. 20-second pitch clock.
Yeah, everybody's in favor of that.
No one's not in favor of that.
Okay, all right.
The
three pitchers in an inning, I'm not afraid of. You have to face three hitters.
Pitchers required to face
you're
a
not
minimum
a fan?
Of three
that
batters.
That is artificial strategy. It's creating something that's not there. It's really messing with the strategy of the game.
See, we were talking about this a little before the show. I thought Tom Morgan made a good point. Could you do like what the NHL does where they have certain rules? Like you go to a shootout in the NHL in the regular season, but that's gone in the postseason. I'd be in favor of that rule just for the regular season. In the postseason, I think you could take some of that away, but less pitching changes in the regular season would be a good thing.
I understand what you're saying, and that you're right about that. But again, if you keep the rosters small enough, then there's only so much they can do. I just don't think you can.
They already make a million pitching changes with 25.
Guy comes in and gives two homers. He's got to face another guy.
Can I propose a different rule?
Yes.
Can I propose a different rule on this front?
Yes. Modify
maximum number of pitchers you can use in a game.
That's tough though, because what if it goes to extra innings? What if
you throw the rule out if you go to extra innings.
Got it. So it's just now if it's a 10-inning game, you can use
that's
three guys
better.
In an inning.
I like that better. I like that better than what they're proposing.
I think it's a better rule.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to, eliminate your situational lefty coming in. Well then good. Yeah. Bring him in, but he counts against your total of, five pitchers or whatever it might be.
Bring him in. He's got to face three hitters. Bring him in. Go ahead, bring him in. Three hitters though.
I don't care about the three hitters. Mm-hmm. I don't care about that. I don't think that really is going to change much.
I think that'll change a lot.
Oh, I think it'd be bad.
Tony La Russa was making three pitching changes an inning.
But here's the thing, Jones. You know what I think ends up happening? You bring them in. They face three batters. You're going to see more offense, and you're going to see the same amount of pitching changes. He's going to face his three.
More
He's
offense?
Not going to get the outs.
More offense?
And then they're going to go to somebody else.
So more offense is a good thing.
I know it is, but it's not going to shorten the game.
Artificial change.
If you think it's about shortening the game, that will not shorten the game.
I don't even necessarily know that any of these are going to shorten the game. Just give me a little more action. This will give me more action.
20-second pitch clock
the
game.
Less pitching changes, more action.
Draft advantages for winning teams,
yes,
and penalties for losing teams. I think that is part of the fix, but I also think that a salary floor, Dan, is desperately needed in this sport.
Okay. I'll go along with both of those.
I would do both of these things.
Right. I like that.
You cannot continue to reward bad teams the way this sport does. It's insane.
You watch this year, there'll be like four teams winning 115 games.
What do you mean this sport?
Everyone else sucks.
What do you mean this sport? Every sport does that.
Yeah, but this one is worse than others.
Is it?
They play 162. You can't have these three-game series where the Orioles come in and the aggregate score of the three games is 49-6.
Difference with the NBA when you get a crap team and the Celtics just played the Cavaliers the other night. What's the difference?
Because what's the revenue-sharing structure in the NBA versus baseball when it comes to the amount of cash you collect as an MLB team that is totally terrible?
Meaningless games in regular season are not helping.
Yeah, I think in the NBA you got to spend like 90% of the cap. I'm with you on a cap floor. That's fine.
Okay.
But if you're bad, you should get the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
No?
Increasingly.
I think I feel more and more like they should go to some sort of lottery in this sport.
I agree.
No, the lottery solves everything.
The draft in baseball is nothing like the draft in the other sports. It's like ridiculous. You don't know what you're getting. It's not like the other sports, but it's a sure thing. for the most part.
No, but there are some years where there is a top prospect that a lot of teams want.
It's not like...
I know that. I understand.
Kevin Durant. I mean, it's just... Yeah, but like,
I know. What round was Mookie Betts in?
What if it's Bryce Harper and what if it's Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg back-to-back?
Thank you.
Change that whole organization.
Right.
It's rare. A lot of those guys, a lot of the Strasburgs.
It is rare, but it does happen.
The Strasburgs don't always work out.
Look at Houston. Houston tanked, and they turned around their entire team by tanking.
It did. And that's what's hurting because everyone's trying to do that now. It's the model. And the Cubs, they were allowed to tank.
Yeah, but you tank. But teams tank in the NBA. They tank in the NHL. They tank in football.
But they're not playing 162 games of tanking.
The Colts tank for
luck. When you tank in a football season, you're only tanking 16 games. Tank 162, that is not a good for. It's not good for the product. It's bad.
But I don't think it's. I mean, it's more games, but I don't think tanking's unique to baseball.
Well, here's what I think. At a minimum, you should be required to spend your money.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Rays, 100%. The Miami Marlins. These horrible franchises that have no motivation to get better. They don't spend their money. They're just collecting the revenue from Major League Baseball. They're benefiting from the good teams who do want to win. They need to spend their money on players. And on top of that, if that's not enough, then I would entertain the idea of lottery.
Tampa's a classic of what you're talking about. They don't even care about their local TV ratings are so good because the old people just watch baseball no matter what. No one goes to the games. No, they don't.
They don't care about selling tickets. They don't care about getting people there to
watch.
Is that
true? Their ratings are good.
Yes,
it's 1,000 old people every house. You know the TV never goes off. They've got baseball.
They've got Yankees and Red Sox 18 times a year.
Yeah. They watch until 7:30. They fall asleep on their couch. The TV keeps going.
That's a TV show. Yeah. Absolutely, that's all it is. There's no competition. No ticket revenue. They don't care.
Did I miss any? They want to do a study to lower the mound.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then they're talking about a rule that would allow two sport amateurs to sign major league contracts. I think.
Kyler Murray rule.
Kyler Murray rule is what this would be.
But they should 100% do that. Why don't they do that?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I'm not against that.
Yep.
If baseball's too dumb to let Kyler Murray play, like they should be letting him sign contracts in both. You should want Kyler Murray if you're baseball.
Yes, because you're young and you've got sort of a profile.
People have heard of you.
They know who you are. You're a young, exciting athlete.
The draw.
Yeah. You should want him in your sport.
Bingo.
At whatever the cost
is. That one will pass no problem.
I think it will. By the way, Kyler Murray, he should pick baseball.
No.
You got to pick baseball.
At his size and at the
He's going to be a first round pick.
You got to pick baseball.
Why?
Because the longevity and the money in baseball is so much better than football.
You want to go ride buses and maybe never make... Dan just said, you might never make the majors.
Yeah.
He might never sniff the majors.
I'm with Beadle on this one. He's undersized for this. He's not a guarantee in football.
He's the same size as Russell Wilson. He's a little smaller.
Russell Wilson's no guarantee.
Yeah.
Okay, he wasn't a guarantee.
He turned out to be a really good player, and he's doing it at a size that is not typical for the position.
What's more likely to play professionally, a first-round pick in NFL or a first-round pick in baseball?
NFL.
Okay, well, there you go. You want to go ride buses for 3 years and maybe never play? He's gonna get money in the NFL if he's a first-round pick.
He's going to get money in baseball.
Yeah.
That's why they're talking about giving him a major league deal.
Yeah, he's going to make the money's not all that different is my point. So why not
it's
ride
not,
it out?
Because a lot of guys flame out in football, even though they're a first-round
pick. Then go play baseball in 4 years.
You're right. It's possible. You could do both. You could flame out in the NFL and then go play baseball.
You can't. You can't play baseball and then go to the NFL.
No, I agree with you.
Right.
So I agree with that part.
The way to do
flame
it is
out in football and then go play
the
baseball.
The way to do it is NFL first.
Yeah, I guess you're right. If that's the way you're approaching it, but if you have a long NFL career versus a long MLB career, you'd be much better off with a long Major League Baseball career. The money's better. The guarantees are better.
Your health is better. Your health is fine if you're a quarterback.
Well, that's true.
That's
non-contact true. Sport for those guys.
Partially true.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
This is Dan's segment, Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction. You ready to go?
I am ready to go.
Well, today is February 7th, so let it roll.
Okay, birthdays today. Gay Talese is 87 years old.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, wonderful writer. Did the famous piece on DiMaggio. Yeah, he was back in the Gore Vidal days. Just an elegant writer.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The DiMaggio piece, yeah.
Sure. How old is James Spader?
James Spader is...
Tough one.
53.
No. 59 years old today.
Oh.
Garth Brooks. How old is Garth Brooks today?
I'm going to say 58.
He is 57. You're close enough. Chris Rock, care to guess?
40.
No, he's got 52.
He's 54.
Oh.
Now, Bon Jovi's birthday is today. He's only 57. I thought he'd be older. Just feels like he's been around forever, right?
Yeah, he's 57. Been around a long time. What the hell? Just Jersey Rockers, man.
Ashton Kutcher, anybody care to guess?
He is going to be 44.
No.
He's, yeah.
How old?
41. 41.
Damn it. 41? I was going to say like 38.
Yeah. And you know what's weird?
Wasn't he married to Demi Moore like 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was older.
That was a September, June thing, whatever they call that.
May, December, but okay.
Isaiah Thomas the Younger, that would be the disrespected no video Isaiah Thomas. He is only 30 years old today.
Wow.
Jeez.
I was in the airport flying back on Monday, and they kept paging Isaiah Thomas to the service desk or whatever they call it at the airport for like a piece of lost luggage, and they kept doing it. They kept asking for Isaiah Thomas.
Wow.
Like, Isaiah, go pick it up already.
Well, the older one works for NBA TV, so.
Yeah.
Maybe it was him.
Could be.
Maybe it was him. Stuff that happened on February 7th. America's first gas lamp was lit in Baltimore, 1817.
Wow.
In 1962, President John F. Kennedy imposed a full trade embargo on Cuba. That was off the missile crisis of October. On this date in 1961, Jane Fonda's first film previewed or premiered, whatever. A String of Beads, it was called.
What's that smart
Jane's
about?
Been making films for
I'm
a
sorry,
while.
What's the name of that again?
String of Beads. I'm just saying.
Well, a lot of actresses do stuff like that when they're first starting out.
You got to get your foot in the door, you know?
other stuff that happened on the... I mean, there's this one thing. You guys are too young that I'm going to get to it. The biggest thing that ever happened on this day. It was in 1964. Just a little hint. But in 1882, Hardy, you would be the best one to read this. John L. Sullivan's... He knocked out Patty Ryan. It was the last bare-knuckle brawl championship.
Oh!
1882, the year of our Lord.
Just like Gentleman Jim Corbett, the last of the bare-knuckle brawlers.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear. On this date in 1974, Blazing Saddles premiered.
Could not be made today, that movie.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
In the year of our Lord, 1908, Hardy, Connie Mack sold Rue Boisdel for $5,000. Just saying.
Not gonna dance?
Today's done.
Yeah. You're not going to dance for him?
On this date, in 1974, the Siamese Liberation Army took credit for kidnapping Patty Hearst.
Now, and then she was a sympathizer.
Yeah, she was Swedish Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
Syndrome,
well,
Stockholm
was she
syndrome.
In on it, or did she just like go along with him once she was there?
Jeffrey Toobin has devoted a whole book to this, and it is unclear to this day. And
Jones
has
actually read that.
She
book.
Lives and has her own family
yep.
and
love Toobin.
All that stuff like
what
that. Bill Walton was in on that for a little part of that.
In on what?
Google Patty Hearst and Bill Walton sometime.
He took part in it.
his trainer, he had an Alex Guerrero kind of guy when he's with the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
And he was supposedly harboring Patty Hearst during a time there.
Wow.
Just saying, look it up, because when Walton came to the Celtics, we all teased about Patty Hearst. That was part of the thing. Yes, that's a true fact.
I don't know if that's anything that you should be teasing him about. That sounds like a serious
well,
charge.
It was a few years after. It had all blown over. You know?
Got a broad in the car that's kidnapping. Took her across the state line. That's the man act.
On this date, February 7th in 1949, Joe DiMaggio signed the first $100,000 contract in baseball.
Wow. Joe DiMaggio book and a Joe DiMaggio contract.
Among you young guys can name the four things of Joe DiMaggio that cross over into pop culture?
Oh, crap. Marilyn Monroe.
Mrs. Robinson.
That's two right there.
You
cranked out two right there. The other two are Mr. Coffee, and the fourth is Ernest Hemingway's Old Man the Sea. He was in that.
How does Mr. Coffee end up being a Joe D thing?
Well,
he endorsed it.
He was Mr. Coffee.
Oh, did he?
Big time.
I don't know.
Ask your dad.
No kidding.
He'll straighten out on that. On this date in history, the Sochi Olympics opened with a celebration. And I think those are the Putin Olympics, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Did he have the ring already? When did he get the ring? The craft ring.
Ooh, ring did he get? It was the Seahawks ring, wasn't it?
Showing off the bling.
I think Joe D did a lot of these commercials.
I think he already has.
Yeah, he was Mr. Coffee.
Holy crap.
Anyone could validate that. Huh. Yeah, he was the thing. And I think, I'm saving the best for last. I mean, you know, MacArthur returned to Manila on this date in 1945. I Shall Return, all that stuff happened. But the biggie, 1964, February 7th, the Beatles arrived at New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport to begin their first American tour. I can tell you, that was, you know, 2 days later, Ed Sullivan's got him on the really big show. Then he's down in Miami with Muhammad Cassius Clay then, getting ready for the Liston fight. The Beatles stormed America, I can tell you, a very, very big deal. Anything else, boys?
No, that's the big one.
Yeah. Yeah, that is clearly the big
one. Aboard Pan Am Yankee Clipper Flight 101 from London Heathrow lands at New York's Kennedy Airport, and Beatlemania arrives with it.
Absolutely.
It's a little late for that voice. 64.
That's about right.
So they had like a 5-year run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was brief. Yeah, meteoric.
Prolific.
Yeah, that was it.
Pretty good, though. Five years.
Pretty good.
Oh, sure.
Crank all that out.
Yeah.
Good songs.
Yeah.
All right, I'm over, so I'm out of here.
Right.
I'm going to be in spring training for a couple weeks. I'll be calling you from Fort Myers next week. Imagine that.
Your white album.
I go from Fort Foxborough to Fort Myers, just like that.
Your backside of the white album.
What are you going to write about when you're down there?
Well, what's up with the second base situation, which I know you're all wondering about. The closer, Brashear versus Barnes. Is Kimbrel coming back for a 1-year pillow contract? I don't know. We'll find something.
Second base is a problem.
Yeah, it's an issue.
Yeah. They don't have
Could
one.
Be Brock Holt, you know.
Good leader, though.
Not Ian Kinsler. Yeah.
Burn up the phone line.
Who's going to the White House? Who's not?
When is that trip going to happen?
JBJ's already knows.
When is that trip going to happen?
It's February. Excuse me.
They moved it.
It's when they're in Baltimore.
Yeah,
okay.
It's May. So I think the Patriots should just go with the Red Sox, make it a joint trip. There'll be plenty of people, make everybody happy.
Oh, I don't think either team is looking for that.
But he likes a lot of people. So if you had two teams, it would fill the room. You'd get a quorum.
And McDonald's for all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. See you guys.
All right, Dan. Appreciate the time. Dan Shaughnessy, ladies and gentlemen, now heading to spring training after covering the Super Bowl.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.